it's this self-love thing. I just stopped thinking about it. I know. No, it's not that I obsess over it. It's just that... All right, I obsess over it. But the rain in Spain does stay mainly on the atheist. This much we know. Hi, everybody. Martin Zender, once again... Where's Davie, Florida? That's what people have been asking. I've been talking about Davie, Florida. Well, it's near Fort Lauderdale. It's approximately 20 minutes north of Miami. It's near Dania Beach. Does that mean anything to you? I'll just say it's in between Fort Lauderdale and Miami. Something like that. I don't know. I'm learning my way around here, generally. So what's the opposite of loving yourself? I know I keep coming back to this. It's hating yourself. Martin, I think you love yourself. Yeah, the opposite is hating myself. So I do love myself. Sorry, I'm going to drop it now. Speaking of selfishness, I love this in Jeremiah chapter 29, that we're allowed to do things. It's like God acknowledges that the human ego is such, and you need an ego to survive. God gave you an ego. God gave you image of yourself. And again, the pride that comes before a fall, and when Paul says, in our flesh dwells no good thing, you need to see it in the context of religious attainment. You need to see it, as I'm talking about in the Romans series, on the ZWTF, as comparison to God, as comparing yourself to the righteousness of God, or that you could obtain anything in the flesh. It's totally that. But again, Christians and many people take it the other way. They take it to the opposite extreme, and to think that you have to be all bowed down and destroyed and your shoulders hunched over. I saw some woman running the other day over the intercoastal waterway on the bridge heading toward the beach. She's all scrunched over and she's running, and I'm thinking, posture is everything. Folks, let me tell you how you can look 10 years younger and look like you've worked out in the gym for 6 months. Here's what you have to do. Stand up straight, pull back your shoulders. I did a demonstration of this one time at a conference, and I said, do you want to look like you've worked out for 6 months without working out for 6 months? Try this. And I walked straight. I walked erect with my shoulders back and my head up. Not haughty. I'm not looking down my nose at all of you people. It's just level. Just try level. Let's try level. Don't try down. Don't try up. Just try level. And then when you do that, your stomach automatically goes in. So you lose 10 pounds. From Tuesday to Wednesday, I can look like I've lost 10 pounds without doing anything, just by the way I carry myself. So let's not be stupid and say that in our flesh dwells no good thing, period. In our flesh dwells no good thing that is able to please God, to earn his salvation, to become justified by works of law or by works of flesh. No, you can't do that. So God understands this. The ego, he invented it. Ergo, I always wanted to use ergo and ego in the same sentence. God invented the ego. Ergo, we have verses like this in Jeremiah 29. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. If it prospers, you will prosper. So there ends up being a little motive there for the self, doesn't there? And I mentioned this in my newsletter this past weekend, or was it the weekend before, that there's always some selfish motive underlying things that we do. And how fascinating that God recognizes this. And if you ask me, not that you did, I think he also recognizes it in Romans chapter 12. Told you yesterday we're supposed to pray for our enemies. Now, correction, pray for those in superior station, that is, those who are over us, because they have tough jobs. Nebuchadnezzar, it's hard being the ruler of the world. And as much as I don't like Obama, sorry, I'm in a college. If you're in a college, you automatically are a liberal. So it's like to aggravate you people sometimes. So, it's hard being the president of the United States, I would guess. And so these people need prayed for, because they're in really terrifying position. And so have mercy have mercy on Obama and all in our superior station. Pray for them. Because, again, as we spoke of several weeks ago, their breaking is still coming. They haven't come to a realization yet. And it's going to hurt. And I want you to feel for them. And I'll feel for Obama when he goes down, just like I do for Nebuchadnezzar, streaked with dew in the field. Listen to this. I wish this wasn't in Scripture. Verse 14 of Romans 12. Bless those who are persecuting you. Really? Bless and do not curse, so as to be rejoicing with those rejoicing, lamenting with those lamenting, being mutually disposed to one another, not being disposed to that which is high, but being led away to the humble. All right. I can live with this. Led away to the humble. But do I have to be led away to arrogant bastards? Yes, because of this verse. Do not come to pass for prudent with yourselves, as if I'm the judge. I'm prudent, see? I understand everyone's motives. I understand their deepest heart's desire. I can get in their heads. I know what they're thinking while they're laying in bed at night, staring up at the ceiling tile. I know their innermost heart, their innermost fears. I don't. And because of that, how about I start giving people the benefit of the doubt? How about I go even a step beyond that? How about I bless them? How about I pray for them? How about I bless them when they persecute me? That's the hardest thing. And here Paul goes into detail on this in verse 17. To no one render evil for evil. Now this is shocking in the Scripture because that was God's modus operandi under the law of Moses. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But now we have the law of the Spirit. Jesus suggested this when he says, when someone strikes you on the left cheek, offer them your right. Might have been the other way around. I'm not sure you have to offer them your right cheek if they strike you on your left. But if they strike you on your right cheek, yes, you definitely have to give them your left cheek. So just pray to God they strike your left cheek first, because I don't think the Scripture addresses that particular attack. To no one render evil for evil. That's new crap. But make ideal provision in the sight of God and of all humanity. Ideal provision. What does that mean? It means that when someone sees me doing this, I'm feeding them. I'm actually nourishing a person who is looking on, watching me bless somebody who is persecuting me. It impresses them. I'm conscious of this. I'm aware of what it does for the sake of God and for the sake of Christ. And I always try to remember that I was shown grace, therefore I'm to show grace. This applies to Israel in Babylon. This is one of the secrets of Daniel. Because we're in Jeremiah 29, we're seeing a parallel today in Romans 12, and Jeremiah was a prophet of the exile, and he's dealing with a nation, Israel, in captivity, and they were to pray for those. Needless to say, those persecuting them, because they're the ones who brought them to Babylon in chains. Now here's the fun part. I kind of think this is the fun part. This corresponds to Jeremiah 29 saying, because in their prosperity is your prosperity. Don't be avenging yourselves, beloved, verse 19, but be giving place to his indignation. This is what we miss in the gospel of grace. This is our apostle of grace speaking. What is he saying here? That there is a day of the indignation of God, and that there is going to be a day of recompense just because God is the savior of all humanity doesn't mean that humanity is not going to come into judgment and that they're not going to be accountable and for them to be judged for what they did to you. Or to anyone. Hitler is going to be judged for what he did. Nebuchadnezzar. We don't come into judgment. I'm not talking about us right now. I'm talking about your persecutors. I'm even going to apply it back to 1 Timothy chapter 2, to those who are in power, to those in authority, to those we are to submit to. Ooh, Martin, what are you saying? Yeah, I'm going to get to that either next week or later this week. Submit to those in superior authority. We're seeing the pattern of Daniel in Babylon. This is one of the secrets of Daniel, that those authorities that are set by him. One of the secrets of Daniel. And the reason we're doing this, again, not so we can be theoretically smart, but so that we can have peace in this era, in this administration. If it doesn't apply to you today, I'm not going to teach it. You can rest assured of that. And if I ever get off on some intellectual egg-headed tangent and I start teaching some highfalutin scriptural facts and you're going, Martin, why do I need to know this? Then you write me and say, Martin, why do I need to know this? So I'm not going to waste your time. I need this stuff. And I need to tell my stuff that I need to tell myself this stuff every day because I forget it. And thank God you're telling me that. Martin, I need reminder of this. Thank you. I listen to your show. Can't wait to hear what you have to say because you're articulating my thoughts, my feelings. Right. Right. Thank you. Because as I've told you, I'm in the same boat with you. Always have been. All right. Tomorrow, we're going to look at details of what to do for your enemies. Again, wish this wasn't in Scripture. But God makes concession. Let's start off with his indignation tomorrow. God does make a concession for human feelings. He makes a concession for the human need to see things made right, to see people who are just plain rotten get what's coming to them. We've accused the Christians of being that way. But in the Christian's mind, what they think people have coming to them is eternal torment. We're not teaching that. I'm not teaching that. Why would I teach a false doctrine? But God does recompense. He does bring indignation. So we're going to start with that juicy topic tomorrow. I hope that's not too juicy for you. I hope you're not like rubbing your mitts together in the manner of Vincent Price in The Pit and the Pendulum. But I do hope it calms your soul just a little bit to know that, yes, God knows what's happening to you, and no, they ain't going to get away with it.